Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party, where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And it is currently Sunday, February 21st at 1:05 p.m. Central Time. How's it been going, Lance?
it's been a week, man. It's been crazy down here. For those that do not know, I am a Texas resident. And I'm in Houston, so we had some crazy weather. I was without power for a couple of days. It's all good though. I took the week ended okay. I ended up taking a nice trip to Cancun to get away from it all, and just to escape, because I needed that. It was necessary for me to kind of get out and do that.
I guess the big question is, was the power out on Monday night?
Yes, it was.
So does that mean no bachelor for you?
No, that does not mean no bachelor for me, because I watched The Bachelor yesterday, and oh man, the cool thing about like when the power came back on, one of the things I was checking for was just to make sure everything was okay. But then I also was gonna go see where I could get like things that I record throughout the week, and the DVR recorded my stuff. And I was like,
hey,
yes. And so The Bachelor was a priority, and oh boy, we are down to our final four, because this week, tomorrow on Monday, is hometowns, where Matt meets the contestants' families, and things are going to get much more interesting after this, I think, because of what we know about the current state of the franchise, with Chris Harrison stepping away, and probably the leading contestant and the person who I suspect probably won, Rachel, and her past with racism and everything. It's interesting to see this very next episode, because in one of the clips that they showed, and of course this is all edited for effect, but like, her dad did not seem too pleased with Matt walking through that door. And I think that's one of the things that's probably was going on with Rachel, is because in my experience and on this earth and just dealing with these types of things, the people in Rachel's position have to reconcile a couple of things, right? They have to reconcile the fact that they do like this individual, but also have to reconcile what they were brought up in and likely what people have told her in the past of what she should and should not do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure that is going to play a factor, and not only for her, but for the other contestants as well, because we got to see some of the other families, and I was surprised, because some of them are like, a couple of those families are interracial. So it's like, it's interesting. The dynamic about this is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're down to our final four. The final four are Bree, which I'm still glad that she's around, Rachel, Michelle, and Serena P. Those are the final four. I'm disappointed that my girl Abigail didn't make it to that part, but am I holding out hope for Bree?
All right. So we're rooting for Bree.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you watch anything else this week, or was there no power?
I guess outside of that, the best thing I saw this week would be SNL. Like, I watched SNL yesterday, mostly because Reggae John Page was hosting. He played the Duke of Hastings on Bridgerton. So I watched it for him, and he was funny. He was like, he seemed like he really enjoyed it. I think he's definitely enjoying and knows the fact that he is like a very desirable commodity at the moment. And I think he's enjoying that. And you know what? Good for you. Flex on it.
Yeah, Bridgerton coming back for season two. I saw they just announced the female lead and everything. Uh-huh. On the
show, she's going to be the love interest of the older brother.
Okay. Well, I didn't see all that much new this week either. The thing that I guess kind of stands out to me is I watched the first episode of Clarice, the new Silence of the Lambs show.
How was that?
On CBS. It was pretty good. I guess I was hoping for more. It's really interesting because it's an Alex Kurtzman production, and it's being run by Jenny Lamette, who is his kind of new writing partner, and she does a lot of work on Star Trek and stuff like that. And because of that, because it's under the Kurtzman banner, basically everyone who's working on it behind the scenes works on the new Star Trek, whether it's okay. Discovery or Picard or whatever, the director, the cinematographer, the editor, everybody. Mm-hmm. I kind of was hoping for a bit more in keeping with the tone of the original movie. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job, and they kind of show this off in the trailers and everything, of like recreating like shots and stuff like that from the original
okay.
for like flashbacks. And it's like, that's all down. Like the cinematography, I think, is like spot on, but mm-hmm. the pacing and everything is just a little too, I guess, modern
okay.
for me. I was hoping for a little more of kind of like an X-Files vibe, I guess. And it gotcha. Doesn't really have that, you know.
I think that's what you would probably expect from that show, right? Like it to have an X-Files vibe.
Especially since it takes place in like 1992 and everything like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know.
Okay.
I mean, it does have that a bit, but there's also, you know, I mean, like there's this one scene which I was just like, it was the only time in the episode where I'm like, oh my God, where like, they're trying to track down leads for all these people. And at one point they're like, well, we need to talk to this woman's daughter, and she's a drug addict who's living in like a crack house, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so we need to go there and find her and talk to her. And so they just go there, and when the person sees them coming, she starts running. And then there's this massive like chase through this like abandoned building where, you know, she's trying to avoid the cops, and, you know, the cops are trying to, and it's like this huge action beat. And then essentially they like catch her, and they're like, we're not here to arrest you. We just need to talk to you about this other case. And then they do. And it's like, okay, I get, you know, that this is kind of an action, you know, procedural cop show thing, but mm-hmm. like that would never happen in the original movie, yes. you know? So that kind of thing. And the other thing, which I'm kind of wondering if they're trying to keep in mind what happened in Hannibal, the movie, so that it syncs up, because there's like one scene in that where like after there is a big shootout at the beginning, she gets a letter, and it's from the Guinness Book of World Records congratulating her for setting the record for like the female FBI agent who's killed the most people in the line of duty or something like that at like four. And it's like this moment in the movie where she's like, oh, Guinness Book of World Records is congratulating me for, you know, whatever. She's
wow.
like, fantastic. You know, and they, it's just kind of, it's just like a moment where you're like, well, that's weird, but I guess that is something that might happen. But in that scene, they say like, oh, well, over the course of her career, she's killed X amount of people. And it's like, well, you're going to need to keep that in mind here. And I thought like maybe what they would do is like take a much more subdued approach. Like maybe every scene doesn't end in like a shootout. But sure enough, this episode does end in a shootout. And, you know, she ends up killing some guy. And I'm like, well, that's one. So she's only got like, if this thing goes on for like another 6 years, they're really going to have to start, you know, managing these these shootouts. But whatever, it's fine. You know, check it out if you want, but it's not like it's a must-see thing or anything like that. All right, so on to the news. I think the big story this week is not movie or TV related. Well, it is movie related, mm-hmm. but it's not for a movie.
Yes.
It's for a comic book. Superman 78 and Batman 89 are actually happening.
This is so awesome.
It is. These are comic books which are based on the original movies that everybody knows and loves, the Richard Donner Superman and the Tim Burton Batman. Now, Superman 78 is going to be written by Rob Venditti and drawn by Wilfredo Torres. Are you familiar with either of them?
No.
Okay. And then Batman 89 is going to be written by Sam Hamm, who wrote Batman, mm-hmm. you know, 1989, and it's drawn by Joe Quinones, mm-hmm. who I'm not familiar with him aside from the fact that like 5 years ago he posted on his blog that he had pitched this idea, and was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted like all of his like sketches and everything. Yeah. And it's like they kind of blew up and everyone was like, why was this rejected?
Yeah, because that's the thing. This has been a thing for a long time. Because like I'm part of the Facebook group for Batman 89, the comic book, and this has been a thing for a long time. And for both of these things, I'm really glad that it's going to happen because these are stories that we would like to see. Right, we would like to see more stories of these characters in their universe, and you know, the comic book is probably the best way to go about doing this because, you know, obviously we, you know, it's not like we can do more things with Christopher Reeve, but this is a way to keep telling stories in his universe with him as Superman, the iconic Superman, right? And the same thing goes for Keaton as Batman, even though they're trying to bring him, he's going to be in, you know, a movie starring The Flash, allegedly. So I think this is great. And this also kind of falls in line with a trend that has happened in comic books over the past few years where, you know, because like it kind of started with Batman 66, that comic book run. I have all of those. There was a shortly lived X-Men 92, which was comics about the X-Men animated series, like, you know, continuation. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's Wonder Woman 77, I believe, was a comic book that they did. So, you know, I think this is cool. Like this is a good way to keep, you know, those stories going. They did the same thing with The Flash from 1990 as well. So, you know,
they did.
So I think this is a step in the right direction, and this is something I will be picking up day one.
Yeah, me too. I honestly couldn't care less about Superman 78, you know, but Batman 89, definitely I will be picking up day one, you know, especially, you know, the fact that they were able to get Sam Hamm to come back and mm-hmm. write this. I actually met him once at the University of Chicago. They did a screening of Batman, and then he was there to do a Q&A because his son like was going to the UFC at the time and like involved with like the film program or whatever. And he was, you know, a super nice guy. You know, I mean, he did the Q&A and everything, but then he just stood around in the lobby afterwards, signed anything that anybody wanted to be signed, and talked to people for as long as they wanted to. I got him to sign my Laserdisc, and he's like, I forget what it says, something like, have a best bat wishes.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Sam Hamm. Yeah, it was pretty cool. But it also really interesting in that thing, like, of course, someone asked him, they're like, you know, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? That's one of the most iconic lines, mm-hmm. you know, in movie history. Like, how did you come up with that? And he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't write that. That was the other guy.
That's awesome.
Because apparently his script, his original script, Joker was not the guy who killed Batman's parents.
See, I like this guy already.
Yeah, that was all added after the fact. But, you know, so, you know, I think it'll be cool for sure.
Yeah.
And it seems like Batman 89 is going to take place after Returns, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Batman and Returns both exist.
Yeah.
But Batman Forever, Batman mm-hmm. and Robin don't, which is why I think they're going to bring in who do they have playing Robin originally?
Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, okay. So I think that, I mean, especially looking at like the original designs, mm-hmm. definitely seems like they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And Billy Dee Williams as
Two-Face. I mean, yeah.
They pretty much said that.
Yes,
you know,
they
without
did.
Saying it, which is awesome. You know, and even like looking at the designs, like the Joker gang, you know, like
the Jokers,
one of those
guys. Just like Batman Beyond. Like it's like it's so that's the other cool thing about this is like it, like, because, you know, the Burtonverse is the inspiration for the animated series, and, you know, which is, you know, arguably one of the best things that ever happened to the character of Batman. And then you have Batman Beyond, which spins out of that. And so mm-hmm. in the character designs here, like, you have this Joker's gang, which was introduced in Batman Beyond, and you have the DD twins there. I was like, mm-hmm. this is so great. Like we have, like, it's like, it's all tying together. It's all connected.
And that one guy, I mean, definitely looked like Prince from
the
Bat Dance video, uh-huh. right? That's pretty awesome. And then the other thing, the absolute coolest thing about it was in the designs of like Bruce Wayne,
mm-hmm.
you can see
the toy.
Yes, he's got his
the costume change Bruce Wayne turtleneck action figure.
Yeah, which they're explaining why it looks all tech stuff, because it's like a tech undershirt, which mm-hmm. ties into the suit, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I have a sweatshirt of that thing. It's
I want one of those.
Oh, it's so great. The one thing which I'm disappointed in all of this, I have to say, is that when you look at the design of the costume, it does not look like the boots are Air Jordan 6s.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
I don't know what's going on with that.
That is disappointing.
Step up your game.
Indeed.
I said I was going to buy it day one, but I might have to protest because of that. So. We'll see.
That's funny. Quick aside. What are your favorite pair of Jordans?
I guess the sort of like historic answer would be the fours, because those are the ones which I, you know, first kind of noticed when I was a kid.
Okay.
You know, but I really, really love the 23s.
Okay.
And part of it might have been like the hype around that and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like what they're doing now. You know, like I always get like the new one just because it's like a really good shoe. Like the tech mm-hmm. is always great. And,
yeah.
But I guess historically speaking, I'd have to say it's the fours. What about you?
Well, the 11 is obviously like that's the greatest sneaker ever. Mm-hmm. Don't at me. But like another personal favorite for me is the eights, the double strap. Yeah. And mostly because that's the one that I really like paid attention to when I was younger, because like because mm-hmm. especially the black ones, because like, you know, those debuted in the 93 playoffs. And yeah. I was just like, ooh, this shoe is so clean. And then I never got those when I was like younger, but then they re-released them when I was in high school and I got them for my birthday. And I felt like king of the world wearing those that entire yeah. year.
That's really good. Those are some of my favorites, too. The only two that I had when I was a kid growing up were the fives. Mm-hmm. I had the white ones with the black tongue.
Okay.
And then I had the eights that you were talking about, the black and red eights.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that I had when they first came out. And all the rest I didn't get until I was an adult, but now I have way too many. So
no, that's kind of a good problem to have in some ways. I only want like a specific ones. So like I want the fours. I want a pair of fives. I have two pairs of eights at the moment. Yeah. I obviously want the 11s. It's the one that I like I just want that shoe so bad. There's a couple others that I can't think off the top, but if I could get them, that'd be cool.
And if people are wondering why we're talking about this, it's because in the original movie,
yes,
in Batman 89, the story goes that basically Nike went to Warner Brothers and was like, we want to do product placement. Mm-hmm. And Warner Brothers was like, it's not that kind of movie, you know, yeah. like this is like a whole created world. And, you know, people aren't wearing Nike. That being said, we do need some boots.
Yes.
You know, and you know, Nike, you make shoes. How about you go make us some boots? And they're like, sure. And what they did was they went to Tinker Hatfield, the guy who designed all the Jordans. Mm-hmm. He took the Air Trainer 3s, which were their latest cross trainer shoe. Yeah. They were the Bo Jackson shoe and stuff
the
like
Bonos.
That.
The Bonos.
And actually the shoe that Spike Lee wears in Do the Right Thing that same mm-hmm. year. He wears the same shoes as Batman. But
yeah.
And they made boots out of those. And then Michael Keaton was like, this is amazing. This yep. suit is incredibly uncomfortable, but my feet are very comfortable. So for Batman Returns, they went back to Nike and they did the same thing, this time basing them on the Air Jordan 6s, which were mm-hmm. the first shoe that Michael Jordan won a championship in.
That's correct. And he wore the Carmines in those.
He did, yeah. And they're like all black. And I have... For years and years and years, I'm like, why don't you release those?
I know, like that, yeah.
Just release them just like that.
Can you imagine, there doesn't even need to be any, like, over-the-top marketing for it. Just like, you know, the Air Jordan 6 Batman. And it's yeah. just like, that's all it needs to be.
That's it. And they sell out on day one,
yeah.
you know? Now, over the summer, they are supposedly releasing some which are, they're all black, but then, like, they have, like, the air bubble is, like, electric green.
Okay.
And they look really nice. And I'm like, that's about as close as I can get. And I love the electric green thing. So I think I'm going to get those. And those okay. will be my Batman shoes for the time being. But
cool.
But he's not wearing them in the comic. I don't know why. This is crazy. Dang. I don't know what's going on with that. This is they really dropped the ball on that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So for Superman 78, they're a little vague on this. They kind of make it sound like they're only taking into account the first movie. Mm-hmm. You'd sort of think that they do the second one, but then would they do the Richard Donner version or the Richard Lester version?
That is the trouble they would run into.
I mean, it kind of makes sense for them to do the Richard Donner version, but I feel like so much confusion there that they're just going to say, screw it, we're just doing the first movie. Yeah. And that's it. No, whatever. I mean, that one is, and that's one where, under normal circumstances, you would think that Geoff Johns would write it since he was Richard Donner's assistant and everything, mm-hmm. or get Richard Donner to come back, but apparently not. So
yeah, Jeff is unavailable at the moment.
I guess so. But I'm certainly looking forward to these two. And yeah, I'll probably honestly wait until they're all out because it's going to be 12 parts. But okay. It sounds like each part is only going to be like 10 pages or something like that because they say that the 12 parts will be collected into six comics.
Six issues? Okay, so it's a miniseries. Okay.
So it's going to be on day one, which is July 27th, they're going to be released digitally. The first six chapters will all come at once of each one. And then we'll be getting one chapter a week for the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
For all those. And then after that, they'll be released as comics. And then in October and November, they'll be released as hardcovers.
Okay. So, cool.
Yeah. So definitely something to look forward to. And hopefully it'll do. I mean, based on the response that I've seen online, I think that this is going to be a huge hit. And you got to figure they'll keep on doing it, right?
Got to.
There's no reason to stop.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll open up the door to more things like Batman 95, which is a...
With more Dr. Chase Meridian?
Oh, man, that would be so great. I would love that. You know, I mean, I don't know if you could really do anything in the Nolanverse. That would be a little weird.
Well, you kind of could. There was this comic that kind of did the rest of the Bat family and, like, the events that after Rises. And like,
oh, really?
You know, like, yeah, it's just like, so, like, it showed, like, you know, a grown-up Barbara Gordon, who kind of takes on the mantle, and Damian Wayne comes into play because it turned out that Talia was pregnant at the time, and she got resurrected or some stuff. There are character designs, and there's a little story that kind of goes along with it. And John Blake's costume gets more fashioned into Nightwing. It's out there.
So this is just fan stuff. This wasn't actually something which was published. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's lots of things that you could do. You could also resurrect a lot of these, you know, movie scripts which never got made, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Kevin Smith Superman or the Darren Aronofsky Batman or whatever. Good. I'd buy all of them. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. It's exciting stuff. Exciting stuff for sure. But over in the movies, over in the Flash movie where we are going to see the Michael Keaton Batman, there's some stuff going on there too. Apparently they've started filming or they're about to start filming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
I believe it when I see it.
They've cast someone as Supergirl in this. Sasha Kale.
Mm-hmm.
I could be pronouncing that wrong. She's an actress who's only been in The Young and the Restless so far.
Okay.
But apparently they auditioned 425 people, and she was the one who got the part. Cool. And she will be the first Latina Supergirl in the DC movies. What do you think about this?
Well, first of all, the headline, it still gets me and it still bothers me. Like, actress cast as Supergirl in Flash movie. I feel like, you know, Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, he's just like, are there going to be any dinosaurs in this dinosaur, you know, park? Like, are there going to be any Flash characters in this Flash movie? Like, what are we doing? Like, this movie seems like it's going to be a complete mess. Now, so that's my stance on that has not changed. I don't mind the casting here, but it's interesting for a couple of different reasons. Like, number one, like, which Supergirl is she playing? Is she playing Kara/Kara Kent? Or is she playing Lara Kent? Because that's two different things. Because obviously it's notable that she is not a blonde woman, right? And Supergirl, since her inception, has been a blonde woman. And that is the Kara Kent version. The Lara Kent is Superman and Wonder Woman's child in some instances, and also is in some universes she's also Superman and Lois's child, and she has dark hair. So is she going to be that version of the character? We don't know, especially considering that this Flash movie is supposed to be, you know, setting up Elseworlds and all this other stuff. That could be a possibility. So that that aspect is a little bit interesting, because I'm happy for the actress. I'm happy, you know, that she's getting this opportunity. I watched her video when the news was broke to her, and that's really cool when you see somebody, like, you know, attain something and like and reach a dream. That's really cool. But it does open up questions, though, especially considering that the backdrop of this, though, that you can't ignore is, you know, she's the first, you know, Latina actress to play Supergirl and will be the first Latina to be Supergirl. And I think they're going to definitely make it known that she is a Latina who is Supergirl. That's fine. But at the same time, you're walking a very fine line when we do this type of thing, because you end up ignoring the actual, like, Latina superheroes that are already in existence and already being published, and they're already in comics and they're already in, you know, public knowledge, at least among comic fans and superhero fans, right? And so we get this, but so if we get this and we get our first Latina Supergirl, that's great. But does this mean that we'll never get Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern? You know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like that. And so I think that these are the things that we have to think about when we're doing this, because, like, for example, like, if we get a down the line, if we get a Michael B. Jordan is cast as Superman thing, right? And he's not playing Val Zod or Calvin Harris, but he's playing Clark Kent, who is a black man. Then what does it do for those characters that I just mentioned? And also, does this mean that we'll never get Icon? Does this mean we'll never get Blue Marvel? Like these are legit questions, and these are characters that have been in existence that never get a shine, because instead of doing that, we're doing this. And I think that is something that the people who are making decisions need to think about. And I don't think they think about it at all.
Yeah, no, I definitely see what you're saying. You know, I mean, that's a, you know, something that my wife says all the time too. Like, you can't just, you know, change the race of a character and then say, like, oh, look, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like there's a lot that goes with it. And
correct.
You know, Superman is one where I always thought, just because of, like, I don't know, one time I saw like a thing on like the science of Superman or something, and, you know, someone was saying, like, well, if you look at, like, what powers Superman, everything being, like, sun absorption and stuff like that, it kind of makes sense that the character would be very dark-skinned. Mm-hmm. And I've always, like, thought about that. Like, you could do, like, I mean, it would be really interesting to have, like, a black Superman, but if you were to do that, it would have to be like a completely different character, right? I mean, you can't just have them land in Kansas and then, you know, be raised by farmers and then everything is the same, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to be kind of like a dissection of race in America. If you're
it has to be a different story. And that's kind of what happens if for those who are unfamiliar with Icon, the Milestone Universe character, is somewhat similar circumstances, right? He's an alien that crash lands here, but he's not a baby. He's an adult. But, like, when he crash lands here, it's in the 1830s. And you know, he you know, ends up living through slavery, and he ends up living through all these times. And so, and there's a story that could be told there, but that's, you know, but again, it's largely ignored because we do stuff like this. And then also, like, if there were a black Superman, then that means that opens up a whole other host of questions because of what we know Superman represents, you know, both, like, as far as, like, an inspiration and a hero, but also there's the biblical implications that go into that character, which will, and if that happens, that means people have to actually, you know, own up to the fact that, like, a lot of the people that we talk about in the Bible do not look like how they're portrayed in media.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it would be really interesting. It would be a completely different story, a completely different take, but I think that could work. I don't know. In this case, I mean, the one thing which is kind of like the big X factor, and I have heard people say that it's Kara Danvers, although that could have just been speculation. It's not clear, you know, but this is a movie which is dealing with the multiverse, right?
Yeah.
So who knows what Earth this Kara Danvers comes from?
Yeah, there's that, which is why I mentioned, like, you know, which Supergirl is this? That was my one of my first questions, because that could play a role. Now, do I think that they're the people involved in this movie are that clever to kind of do any of this? No, because they the track record of the people in charge of DC properties on film is, in my estimation, is not very good. So I do not trust them to be clever in their handling of this. But like with everything, I'll wait and see.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, to see that they are, I mean, who knows how much larger this thing will be. How, I mean, it sounds like Supergirl is going to play a fairly important role in the story. But, I mean, now we've got a Flash. We've got a couple Batmans, I think, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and
we've
two got, Batmans.
Yeah, we've got a Supergirl. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to be a big movie.
And,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see how it turns out.
Guess so.
So, speaking of other DCEU movies... someone on Twitter unearthed an article in Forbes from December where they talk about how Emilia Clarke sold her house. Mm-hmm. And buried in this article is a thing talking about Emilia Clarke and all the amazing movies that she's made and is going to make. One of the things it says is that the Amber Heard role in Aquaman mm-hmm. has been recast in Aquaman 2 with Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
Now, certainly there's a lot of people who think that Amber Heard should be recast in mm-hmm. Aquaman 2. And there's nothing about this which seems like it's outside of the realm of plausibility, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird that someone would put this in an article in Forbes, like, 2 months ago and nobody would notice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, who knows? It could be that the author, you know, read some fan speculation, you know, because this does sound like fan.
That's what I think it is. Well, it is because people want to see that reunion of the Khaleesi and Khal Drogo. That's what it is.
I didn't even think about that. Well,
that's what that is.
And that would be a reason for them not to do it, I guess, right? I didn't even connect those dots, but So there's that. But on the other hand, you know, it could be. I mean, since it seems like whoever wrote this article had, like, access mm-hmm. to, you know, I mean, like, there's pictures of her house. There's, I mean, they do go into, like, a lot of stuff with her history and say, like according to IMDb. But I also feel like maybe, perhaps, whether or not they interviewed her, they might have interviewed, like, her publicist or something mm-hmm. like that, and maybe this is something which was kind of said off the record that they didn't realize and yeah. stuck it in there, and maybe it is something which is happening. I don't know. I mean, Forbes is a fairly legitimate news source, mm-hmm. so we'll see. Oh well, moving on to the TV side of the DC universe, speaking of Latina characters not mm-hmm. getting their stories.
Yep.
The Wonder Girl TV show, which was going to be part of the Arrowverse, mm-hmm. is not happening. They wrote the script. The script was rejected, so it's not moving forward.
That sucks. And I'm kind of surprised, especially considering that I've read the Yara Floor, that's the character, in Future State. I like her. This would have been a great thing to kind of jump off. She could have been DC's Kamala Khan in a lot of ways. And I'm also shocked considering like some of the other programming that's on the CW. Like, for example, like this could have replaced Batwoman. And, you know, Batwoman has his own problems, but like, yeah, this could have done that. And you could still had Naomi upcoming. You could still had your Powerpuff Girls upcoming and whatever else that they were having. But I'm not sure what the reasoning behind that was.
Yeah, it seems really strange to me. I mean, the thing that kind of, I mean, maybe it's just the script wasn't what they were looking for. It wasn't as good as what they had hoped or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it does seem strange to me with, you know, with a lot of these properties, whether it's Star Wars or, you know, the MCU or whatever, it's such a well-oiled machine that you figure they kind of know exactly what they want.
Yes.
And you could say like, oh, well, we're writing a script for Wonder Girl and we're pitching it and we'll see what happens. But it feels like with most of these things, it's kind of a done deal. And this is just a formality. Like
yeah.
we know that we want Wonder Girl, and it just makes sense because, I mean, in addition to being like a Latina character mm-hmm. and everything like that, it's also a spinoff of Wonder Woman, who's
yes.
like the biggest superhero in the world right now, right?
Exactly.
So why wouldn't you want that? You know, yeah. For the same reason why you have Supergirl and Batwoman and everything like that. But it just seems strange to me that that's their process. But I guess that is how they work. I mean, this whole Green Arrow and the Canaries thing, mm-hmm. like you're doing a backdoor pilot, like you pretty much know exactly what that's going to be because you've been doing Arrow for the past 8 years mm-hmm. and then you say no to it.
Yeah.
That's strange. I don't know. I mean, like, is this Black Lightning spinoff going to happen?
Who knows?
I mean, I guess they actually do what they do in TV, you know, put it through the process, but it seems strange to me that they do that.
I agree.
Well, another DC reboot coming down the pipeline is Constantine, mm-hmm. which is coming from J.J. Abrams' studio.
Okay.
And it's going to be on HBO Max, theoretically, although who knows, you know.
Yeah.
They've got a guy named Guy Bolton who's writing it. He's a British writer who has done a lot of stuff which like hasn't been produced, mm-hmm. but he's also written a couple of novels about like a detective in LA involved with like Hollywood and stuff like that. Right. One of them is being turned into a movie right now, and he's been working with Bad Robot for a while. I'm guessing just on this, and they're rebooting Constantine, but they're looking to have a person of color play the character.
Mm-hmm.
What we were just talking about.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like you almost have to do that in this case because Matt Ryan, right, who played mm-hmm. Constantine on the last version of Constantine and, yep. and on, in the DCEU and everything.
Mm-hmm. And in all the animated stuff.
Right, yeah, that too, which is so cool. Like, he is such, like, a perfect physical embodiment of that character.
Yes.
That to try to recast that role with anyone else, you got to go in a completely different direction with it, right?
I mean, yeah, but again, this also brings up the issues that I was talking about, that we were talking about earlier, right? And also, this is the other thing about this is, you don't have to make Constantine, you know, a person of color. He doesn't have to be black. Right. It's okay if Constantine's a white guy, and it's okay if they continue with Matt Ryan, because in each of the variations of the character that he's played him more serious, like in the original show that he was in. And then he's gotten a little bit more light as he entered the Arrowverse. And then the animated stuff is a good mixture of the two. So it's not like he is lacking in his range as an actor. He can, you know, he can do kind of both spectrums of the character. So it seems kind of unnecessary. But I have an idea of who they're going to pick, though.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Yeah. Booker from Discovery.
Okay. David Ajala?
Uh-huh. Or,
okay. I could see that. He'd be good.
Yeah.
I think I'm just about to enter into the season of Legends that he, you know, is like a regular in.
Well, you've already seen him in Arrow, though, right?
I've seen him in Arrow and I've seen him in Legends, okay. You know? But like the last, I just watched the finale for season 3 of Legends, and he like shows up at the end and he's like, I need your help, you know? Mm. And they're like, okay, so that's what we're going to be doing in season 4, you know? So I don't know how that ends, but you could, you know, like you're saying, do another series with him if you wanted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody loves him as the character. You could make it part of the DCEU if you wanted, but still have it be a thing. I mean, mm-hmm. that original Constantine show, it was good, but at the same time, you could kind of tell, like, they wanted to be on HBO Max. You know, like, it kind of demands that in a sense.
Honestly, well, I don't know why they don't bring, like, they like when I first saw the thing, it was like Constantine Reboot, it was like, oh, they're bringing that show back, but they're putting it on HBO Max.
Right.
But that's not what they're doing. I was just like, ah, dang it, guys.
I'm sure it's a case where, like, JJ is like, I love Constantine. I've never seen any of these shows or, you know, DCEU. I don't know what that is. I just want to do my own thing, and that's what I'm going
to
do.
But sometimes that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I'll check it out, whatever. I mean, but I'm not super duper excited about it. So switching to Marvel for a minute, Patrick Stewart, has been doing some interviews lately and everything like that. And he recently said that he has had long conversations with Kevin Feige about playing Professor X in the MCU. But he doesn't want to because Logan happened, and he considers that to be like a perfect goodbye for the character. He said if he had not done Logan, he'd be like, yeah, fine, let's go. But because of this, he's not doing it. Okay. Which I get totally. I mean, like I went to this thing at the Chicago Film Festival a few years back where they're doing like a tribute to Patrick Stewart, and they were asking him about Logan, and he's like, yeah, you know, it really seemed like a great story and everything. And then at the premiere, like I was sitting next to Hugh Jackman, and I'm watching the movie and I'm getting kind of emotional, and I look over at Hugh and Hugh is just like crying. So I just grabbed his hand and the two of us held hands and just cried as as this movie ended. And it's like, I totally get that, right?
Yes.
You know, because like that's, and I feel like this is something I've been saying, you know, forever, but I feel like his experience on Logan is why he agreed to come back and do Picard.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, Star Trek Nemesis is not an ending for that character, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to have that closure, you know, for a character that you've been playing for like literally 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why reopen that up for something like a multiverse scenario or something which doesn't even, you know, make sense? But
yeah.
That leads to the second part of the story, which is Kevin Feige wanted Patrick Stewart to play Professor X in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I agree with Stewart, and I admire his and appreciate his loyalty. And, you know, even though we're not going to get him, right, it's okay because there's somebody else that did a great job of playing Charles Xavier, and that's James McAvoy. Like, get him and Fassbender for the MCU. It's seriously that, it's really that easy, right? Like, I don't understand. And I get why you would want Stewart, but like, if you're gonna do what I think they're trying to do, then you need to keep it going with Fassbender and McAvoy.
I think a lot of these plans will become clearer in the next couple of weeks.
I agree.
I think, but it
especially
does...
considering that we have the Quicksilver that is currently around is from the McAvoy and Fassbender era of the X-Men.
That's definitely true. Yeah,
like come on, y'all.
Right, and also, I mean, you want younger actors theoretically if you're planning on, you know, continuing this for a long time. But at the same time, it is really strange to me that they're not starting with a clean slate. And I understand that there are a lot of fans of that and everything like that, but like Wolverine and Professor X are the two most popular characters. They said their goodbye. Everybody loved their goodbye.
Yep.
Why try to go back to that well, which has a lot of sewage in it, you know?
Yes.
There's a lot of crap in that X-Men continuity, but why not just start fresh and be like, here's the new Wolverine, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't do that, but maybe they have some great idea, which I don't see. And, you know, more power to them. I mean, they haven't misstepped yet, really, in the MCU. So I have faith.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did get a new trailer this week, which everyone's been talking about.
Yeah.
Cruella. The new, I guess, 101 Dalmatians prequel, starring Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil, from the director of I, Tonya and Fright Night, both of which are very good. So what did you think about Cruella, the trailer?
My first thought was like, is this necessary? like, I get Maleficent getting a prequel, but Cruella's like, do we really need to know about that? And then my second thought was watching the trailer. I was like, this is Disney's version of Birds of Prey / Joker.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this is. Everything about it screams both of those two movies.
a lot of people have been, you know, talking about Joker, you know, and how it is basically their Joker, Disney's Joker, whatever. Mm-hmm. I honestly did not pick up on that when I first watched it. I can see it now that people have said it.
Yeah, well, it's Joker in the sense of, like, it's this character, like, a bad character who should have no redeeming qualities, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting this feature to get inside their head, right? It's Joker in that regard. And then it's Harley Quinn in the aesthetics, and everything else is kind of going along with it. The trailer is almost beat for beat the Birds of Prey trailer.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I don't know, like a lot of people are saying, like, are we forgetting the fact that this character's end game is to skin puppies?
Exactly.
and I, my personal feeling on this, and I mean, we'll see it when it comes out or whatever, but I have a feeling that the puppy killing is not going to come into play in this movie/continuity. I think that,
of course,
this is a reimagining.
It wouldn't get made, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, we
like
see
PETA is waiting on them. Like, they're going to be at that movie with pitchforks and everything, just waiting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and like there's the moment where you see like those Dalmatians and they're like snarling at her. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's their little cute in joke of like, even the dogs know she's bad news, right?
Yeah, it's either that or it's the, oh, she was scarred by dogs at a young age, and and that fueled her rage. It's like, they're gonna do that BS that happens in movies all the time, and it's like, if they do that, then you've lost all credibility for me.
I don't think that's happening. I think this is going to be a in some ways much lighter take on the character. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be just sort of, they're taking the persona of Cruella as like someone who is, you know, I mean, her name is Cruella de Vil, right? I mean, that pretty much says it all.
Yes.
And like telling the story from her perspective, but it being like a younger version where, like, you know, she's causing chaos, you know, but she's not skinning dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's going to rob some banks or something like that, mm-hmm. but she's not going to be irredeemable. Looking at it from that perspective, watching the trailer, you know, taking away the story, the actual story of 101 Dalmatians, I'm like, yeah, this looks good. I mean, I really like the look of the trailer. I like the feel of you know, the story that they're telling. I really, really like the director. I mean, Itania is fantastic, and so is Fright Night 3D and all that stuff.
I didn't see that one. Itania is fantastic.
I think this could be really fun. So we shall see. But there's a lot of people who are hating on this. I'm definitely not hating on this. I think this is going to be a cool movie.
I'm not hating on it. I guess I'm just disinterested.
Okay. All right. And moment. I do love 101 Dalmatians too.
I do too. So. And the thing is, I love the song Cruella de Vil, right? Yeah. Like, cause the song is fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Emma Stone. It's just this movie, I'm like, I'm not intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this isn't the only kind of reboot of a franchise focusing on a single character, which is coming out. Netflix is in fact making a Wednesday series, Wednesday Addams from the Addams Family, and it's going to be directed by Tim Burton. All 8 episodes directed by Tim Burton.
Shock.
I mean, it seems like a perfect fit. The showrunners on this are going to be Al Gow and Miles Millar, the team that created Smallville.
Always hold on to Smallville.
So, what do you think about this?
Intriguing. And, you know, because I like those two. They've created stuff that I like, not only Smallville, but also Into the Badlands. And Wednesday has remained a very popular character, like, for, it seems like, forever, right? It's very interesting. Like, the Addams Family is a concept and our characters that have kind of stayed in the public consciousness. But, like, Wednesday has always been popular. I think she's probably, like, the most popular member of that family. So this looks pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge Addams Family fan, but I don't have anything against it. It's just one of those things which I've never really connected with. But I can see the potential there. And Tim Burton, I mean, it does seem like an absolute perfect fit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool to see him doing something long form. He's never, I mean, they say like he's never done TV before, but he did do like an episode of Fairy Tale Theater and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he's never done like a television series.
Yeah.
And for one of the things which I think is really cool about this is he's going to direct all 8 episodes. Like, this is going to be like a long movie in a sense. And I think that there's something really cool about that. It does seem right in his wheelhouse. I haven't been super impressed with some of the stuff that he's done recently, but some of it has been good. I mean, like Big Eyes is pretty good. So, you know, I think that this definitely has potential. I'll definitely be watching it because Tim Burton's great.
Yeah.
One last news story, I guess. The Running Man, which was a movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day, based on a novel which I didn't realize was ghostwritten by Stephen King. This movie is going to be remade by Edgar Wright. I'm 100% on board with this. I've never seen the original. People say it's, you know, maybe not the best, but they also say that it's very dissimilar to the book.
Okay.
And Wright's adaptation is not going to be a remake of the movie. It's going to be an adaptation of the book and be much more faithful. He's bringing on Michael Bacall to write it. Well, he co-wrote Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
With Edgar Wright, and he's also written like 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, like those things, which are
both
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, so I think that this could be really good. I've heard that the original book is much, much better than the movie, and okay. There's a lot of potential there for social commentary, especially given today's society
climate.
Or whatnot. Yeah, so I think that this could be really, really cool. I mean, I'll see anything that Edgar Wright does because he's the best. All right, so in our awards watch for the season, mm-hmm. we have one big guild which submitted their nominees this week, mm-hmm. and that's the Writers Guild. They nominated their original screenplay and adapted screenplay mm-hmm. movies. And for the original screenplay, we have Judas and the Black Messiah, Palm Springs, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Okay. I've seen all but Sound of Metal,
okay.
and I think that Trial of Chicago 7 is probably the best.
Yeah, I mean, judging from this, if I had to pick, I think that's probably going to be the winner. I just saw a trailer for Sound of Metal yesterday, so that looks pretty good. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, I think it's on Prime.
It's on Prime, yeah.
Yeah,
so that's if I had to pick a winner, I think it's going to be Trial of Chicago 7. I think that's going to be the big winner this year in a lot of categories.
Yeah, I think right now it's kind of the front runner for Best Picture. I think it overtook Nomadland.
Yeah.
So, I can't complain. I think it is really good. But, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, all of these were good. I haven't seen Sound of Metal. And Promising Young Woman, you know, maybe that's better. I'm not sure. But
okay.
Trial of the Chicago 7 is pretty great. So, in the adapted category, we have Borat's subsequent movie film, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, News of the World, One Night in Miami, and The White Tiger.
Okay.
Here, I've seen all of these except for The White Tiger, and One Night in Miami is by far the best.
Yes.
I mean, News of the World is good,
okay.
and the other two are fine, but One Night in Miami, I mean, that's a slam dunk to me.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. I mean, this is, again, another guild where the people voting for this are the same people voting for Oscars, so what happens here is probably going to be pretty close to what happens with the Oscars, but
okay.
we will keep you posted on that. All right. Well, that just about does it for this week. Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias, and you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcast talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on our show, Always Hold On the Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. You can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about film projection, Star Trek, and time travel. And you can find me currently on TalkFilmSociety.com, doing a show called Trek Film Society, where we take a look at the Star Trek movies with a more critical eye. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, who knows what'll happen. I don't think there's any, like, massive events, like no, you know, awards ceremonies or... it is next week. Oh, there is a massive event. There's the Paramount Plus announcement thing.
Oh.
So we could be getting some news out of there. We shall see. Maybe some Star Trek news, some stuff like that. So
that'd be cool.
Definitely something to look forward to there. So, all right. Well, in the meantime, stay safe. Try not to lose power. Be sure to boil your water.
Yep. And when in doubt, go to Cancun.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.